When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
We are those weekend golf guys. It's been about 6 days since you were last able to hear us. Maybe seven, depending on where you live. And we appreciate you being back. John Ashton in studio, Jeff Smith at the Golf Cave at Otter Creek, playing in Simple Golf School in Columbus, Indiana. Intrepid producer Mark Hunter at the controls. And we are here talking about golf for the next hour. An embarrassment of riches. A plethora of fantastic guests lined up this hour. We've got, first off, coming up in a little bit, we have Brendan Sweeney from French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. The site of the 2016 LPGA Legends Championship. I believe this is the fifth annual consecutive time they've done it up there at French Lick, the Pete Dye course. Also got a guy named, what's his name? Bill.
Our dear friend.
I believe it's Bill Chang, although there's a U in there. I don't know if the U is silent or not. We'll find out in a little bit. But he has invented a tee that is guaranteed to let your ball go straight, no matter how you hit it. We're going to explain that one to you in a little bit. First off, Mr. Jeff, yeah, how you doing,
cool
sir?
I am hot. Morning. I got up this morning, you know, do my usual routine, you know, take the shower, get yourself ready, take the kids to school, come out, start teaching golf around 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And by 9 o'clock, I felt like I was in yet another hot shower. Because at 9:30 this morning, it was so humid that I was just dripping in sweat at 9:30 in the morning, and all I'm doing is standing on the range.
Sympathy is in the dictionary, Mr. I don't work for a living, I teach golf. And you knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
I did.
Yeah.
So I'm hereby declaring that I want to teach in the middle of the summer in a dry northern climate. So do we know of one of those? Because I'm thinking that in like July and August, I think I want to go there. Is there such a thing?
Time to load up the truck and move to Idaho, maybe.
I'm not sure it's dry there. I know it's northern, but man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm all in for that.
You can go up.
I mean, it's like a weight loss program, just walking outside.
Hey, we played on Sunday.
If I really wanted a weight loss program, I would just change my diet.
But
I don't want one.
We played on Sunday, and Mark was wearing, man, what was that, like a Keep Cool vest
little,
or something? What was that?
It's a collar.
Okay.
But it's pretty good size,
mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, you wear around.
So it looks like a vest? Is that why John was confused?
Well, you wear it under your shirt.
I put it under my shirt,
put
it around your neck, and I can see where you look like a little bit of a vest because, you know, the two ends come down in the front there.
Now, does that have internal cooling stuff, or is that something you just soak it?
You just soak it, but it's amazing how long it will stay wet
mm-hmm.
and keep you cool.
Because that's a problem with wearing a towel. You can wet it, you know, in that water cooler by the tee, and then by the time you hit your second shot, it's either hot water now or dry.
Or evaporated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the difference with this thing, whatever it's made out of. I'm not sure.
You know what it's called? You know the official name? We can give
it
a plug.
You want to do that?
Sure, yeah.
It's by Frog Tog, 2 G's each, and it's called a chili pad.
Okay.
Sky blue.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it really does work.
Sky blue.
Was that the only color choice they had?
That's the only one I could. That's the only one I saw. So, you know, if you don't like sky blue, it could be problematic. I do. I think it is. I don't know if that has anything to do with the cooling properties or not.
Frog Tog.
Frog Tog.
Maybe it was made by a couple of University of North Carolina grads.
Could have been.
Yeah, it is.
We're going sky blue.
Yeah, it is. It is UNC blue, man.
Yeah, it is. Right.
And down there, they call it Carolina blue.
Carolina blue.
So just for all of our listeners in the Carolinas,
yep.
They know that I've been down there.
Yep.
I spent a decade in the Carolinas. That is Carolina blue. It's an official color.
Well, okay. And
so if you think it's sky blue, they will quickly correct you because that's Carolina blue.
And that proves that God is a Tar Heel fan because the sky is Carolina blue, right?
It's just the way they say it.
Yeah.
You know?
Been there.
Unless, of course, you're in Durham, which is like 40 minutes away. You know, something else. And they go, no, that's the color of the sky. They
I
just
think
stole it down there.
There's a much larger pool of folk who claim UNC to be their alma mater than Duke or
than
NC
actually
State.
Is.
Yeah. And it's just bigger school.
You do it during basketball season.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, you can fit, 6,000 people inside Cameron Indoor Stadium and about 153 inside the gym and the Dean Dome? Come on. I mean, 153,000, not 153 people.
In Cameron Indoor Stadium?
Yeah.
Can't put too many people in there, but boy, is it fun.
Oh, it is fun.
I've been in both places, by the way. And Cameron Indoor Stadium might be one of the craziest places I've ever seen a college basketball game, and it was hilarious. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I've been to the new Dean Dome.
Yeah.
And the best part about that, it's big, and there's a lot of TV screens because they need them because it's big. But
yeah.
The game that I saw, it was Indiana University victory in Chapel Hill. So I remember that game. It was quite a good game.
Okay. Well, there goes our pool of UNC alumni.
I'm just saying it was a good game. I did not disparage the university, nor did I disparage the building.
On behalf of Mr. Jeff Smith, I apologize for any offense any North Carolina residents may have taken to the foregoing conversation.
The views of Mr. Smith are not necessarily those.
They do not reflect the staff or management of those weekend golf guys.
Look, they'll understand it when they say, hey, look, y'all just be quiet.
Hey, what am I wearing? What am I wearing right now?
That's right. Hey, it's Carolina blue hat, man. That is it. And as I heard, a great thing is I love the sound you make when you shut up. We've got a bunch of guests and some great stories we are going to impart when we come right back. Hang with us. We are those Weekend Golf Guys, powered by Golf Talk America. Don't you move. And welcome back to those Weekend Golf Guys. John Ashton in studio, Jeff Smith at the Golf Cave at Otter Creek, playing in Simple Golf School in Columbus. And, of course, Mr. Mark Hunter, intrepid producer extraordinaire at the controls. And Jeff, on Sunday show, which if you can't hear on your radio, if you're outside of the Louisville metro area, you probably can't pick it up on the radio, but you can always pick it up on audioboom.com, the Golf Talk America network. We are a proud member of that network on audioboom.com.
You like saying it that way, don't you?
I do.
I love that.
I do. Plus, we archive all of our shows there, so you can always go there and listen if, Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, whenever time your local station airs us is just not convenient for you. I want to let you know, on Sunday's show, we talked a little bit about the importance of practice, at least a little bit of practice prior to a round of golf.
Boy, I really hope that recording that is working.
And we talked about the importance of showing up early and hitting some putts and starting close and moving away instead of just throwing a couple balls down and swinging at it wildly, trying to hope to put it in. So many times, you know, you hear guys, and they sink their first one. And they go, oh, that's okay. I don't want to leave all the good ones on the practice green and pick up and walk away. You know?
They say, oh, batting 1,000. Gotta go.
Gotta go. Then the importance of sitting, you know, at the practice tee itself and starting with your lower clubs, the wedges and stuff, hitting, you know, a couple balls with as many clubs as you can, working your way from your wedges back up to your driver. And I just want to let you know that technique worked very well for both intrepid producer Mark and I on Sunday. After we got off the air.
This is truly a historic day. Today is the greatest day.
Write it down. On Sunday, Jim Furyk shot a 58. Lowest score ever shot in a PGA tournament round. A lot of us who play in scrambles go, we can beat that.
That's right. We shot a 56 one
That's
day.
That's right.
Top that.
I don't want to talk about the 58. I want to talk about my 83 because thanks to 55 minutes of warming up prior to the round, I can tell you that I hit all but one fairway off the tee. I was on in regulation on 9 greens, each one of those I parred. Mark and I counted. Between the two of us, there were 14 instances of putts, either missing the cup by less than an inch left or right, or stopping less than a foot from the cup.
Wow.
Each of us could have done much better had
how about that?
Half of those gone in.
How about that? That's pretty interesting.
You know, I took a 7-iron, man, on a par 3, 156-yard par 3. The ball landed about a foot left of the pin, pin high, and then rolled about 8 more feet past. It was right on. There was a 397-yard par 4. My second shot was right. I mean, I can tell you, because it was literally on top of the 150-yard marker in the like this little, you know, headstone-looking thing that they put in the fairway. That said 150, so I had to get relief from that and then put that one on the green. It's amazing what 45, 60 minutes worth of warming up can do for you prior to playing a round of golf. Who knew?
I still need to know. What on earth possessed you to, A, get to the golf course, you know, an appropriate amount of time before your tee time, and, B, not just sit down and belly up to the bar and get a hot dog and a Coke? What happened there?
As we were doing our radio show from the golf course, and we had a 1:10 tee time, and we finished packing up the equipment by about 12:15.
So you were already there. Captive audience, there. Okay. Nothing else to do.
There it is.
There we go.
We figured, you know, we had just done an hour on the air about the importance of doing this, so why don't we put it to the test?
Were there other people going into that?
Hey, kids, let's practice.
What an awful idea.
You mean the people that were there at the golf course listening to our show live actually were kind of saying to you, hey, John, are you going to practice what Jeff preaches? Are you going to go out there and do that?
Yeah, well, when so many people heard it.
Did they guilt you into it? Is that how that happened?
They kind of looked at me strange and said, hey, John, you want a couple drinks? With this kind of, you know, accusatory look in their eye, and to which I replied, no, I've, as I always do, need to go warm up.
I had to see. I wish I would have been a fly on the wall. I had to see the look on Mark Hunter's face when you said that.
He was like, I got to go to the car to a second.
For that guy.
I got to go to the car for a second, man. I'll be back soon.
Clear.
So I just want to let you know.
Is this somewhat of an epiphany? Did that happen on Sunday for you? An epiphany that it was like actually made you better?
Yeah, it actually made me better.
You ought to do more?
Yeah, I may have to do it more now. Damn it.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, what can
Mark,
I say?
Mark, I know you're good on the controls, but what I would like to see is some video evidence of this. Okay.
I hear you. I got you.
Well, we're going
to. I'd like it unedited, please. I would like the swear words to be left in the video.
Man, and I only hit one shot. I only sliced one shot all day long. One shot. And that was, I don't want to not take personal responsibility for that. It was an ill-advised swing because I had intrepid producer Mark in a cart right behind me doing play-by-play, cracking me up. So not only did I prove that day that warming up for an hour prior to your round does help, but laughing your butt off while trying to swing a golf club is not advised.
Pulling his best Vern Lundquist on it, is that
yes,
what's
going on? Yes, he was. Yes, he was, Jim. All right, man. We got some more advice. Got a couple great guests coming along, too. Be right back with Brendan Sweeney from French Lick Resort, French Lick, Indiana, when we get right back. We are those weekend golf guys. Don't move. You checked out our Facebook page yet? It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and like us. Welcome back. We are those weekend golf guys. John Ashton in studio. Jeff Smith, the very humid golf cave in Otter Creek in Columbus. And sitting in the middle of an airport, We promised you a plethora of guests. This is the first one of the day. Mr. Brendan Sweeney from French Lick Resort and Golf Courses in French Lick, Indiana. Man, you're getting good vibes and good press from, like, all over the place this year, man. Good job.
Hey, it means I'm doing my job.
That's right.
Keeping the buzzers off the body is this my goal this week.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. And we're coming up there in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a fun time. The LPGA Legends are rolling back into town yet again for their championship tournament.
Yeah, this year is going to be really special. We're having the LPGA Legends Championship the 19th, 20th, and 21st at the French Lick Resort. A couple special ladies are going to be inducted into the Legends Hall of Fame, Elaine Crosby and Sandra Haney. Woo. So you guys will be there. And, well-deserved, great ladies, great ambassadors of golf. And it's great for the Riley's Children's Hospital too. And that's why we're doing it. We're doing it for the kids, man. If we can give back any way we can, here's how we're doing it. So we appreciate everything you guys have been doing.
Oh man, anything we can do. You know, we love y'all, and Riley's Hospital is a very fine institution that needs all the support it can get too up in Indianapolis. Is it a ticketed thing, or can you just, you know, like walk on and bring a chair, or how's the deal work up there now?
Yeah, we're doing a suggested donation to the Riley's Hospital for $15.
Mm-hmm.
So all the money, all the ticket sales, anything that we generate from the auction, you know, we've raised over $700,000 this year alone.
Oof.
So it's going to be a great event. You know, we're pushing for, we're going for 800. So we want to keep on doing it. So it's great. You know, Ashton Brown was our spokesperson for the last couple years. She's a 2-time cancer survivor, a Riley kid, and when she was down there the first year, we introduced her to Todd Lewis of the Golf Channel. She wound up having an internship with the Golf Channel, and now she's working on Morning Drive. It's pretty neat how this thing comes in together. She's a wonderful young lady.
She's
jamming on it, so it's good.
And a heck of a golfer, too. She was playing for what?
The University of Indianapolis.
Exactly.
But she's graduated now, and she's moving on with her life. And it just goes to show you that the perseverance that she has, you know, she was knocking on death's door a couple times, and she bounced back, so great character, wonderful, wonderful young lady. So we're really happy and pleased with that.
Just one of the many stories that you can get out of the Riley Children's Hospital. Man, you can't talk to those people up there without shedding a tear or two.
And then our little guy in the wheelchair, Braden, he's sort of our poster kid this year. He won't be there this year. He's undergoing, he's going to have another series of surgeries scheduled for his spinal bifida. So, keep these kids in your thoughts and prayers. That's all we ask. And if you have a couple shekels laying around, you know, throw them in our plate. We love it.
That's the way it works, man. The suggested donation thing is a great idea because nobody wants to be looked at as cheap. So, and you also the equipment, not equipment, but the, you know, head covers and shirts and all that kind of stuff, all goes, the proceeds go to help the hospital, too. And they've got some really nice stuff with the French Lick, the Pete Dye, and the Riley's Hospital logo all worked in on the same place. You can feel good and prove to the world that you're a magnanimous kind of guy, which is nice.
Hey,
you know,
I'm just on a ship with a bunch of other fools. That's it. it's all good. Yeah, we got great leadership, and you know, it's a dedication from the Cook Group that owns us and have done the renovation to the property for Southern Indiana. And it's their way of giving back, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to speak about it, and blessed to be working with such a great team. So, it's going to be an exciting week. Everybody's busy, and we're busy doing other things as well. We've had a very busy summer. We had the Indiana Open, which was great. We've had the Indiana All Ages. We just got done with the Alice Dye Invitational. Jeff, we're putting together a bid right now as we speak, to host the NCAA championship. So
be great. What year do you think you might be able to get that taken care of?
Well, hopefully, if I get this bid done, the bid window is open from 2018 to 2023. So I'm submitting everything.
That's what I was wondering, what years you might have it.
Yeah, that'd be great because in that window, there could be a couple of Smith girls participating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so hurry it up. The 18 would be really good.
We got to get him down to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got
18 would be really good.
Have Loyola up there, or maybe LaSalle, or whatever college your son decides to go to. That's going to be a good time.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah, good luck with that, man. We appreciate having that. We would appreciate having that close to home also, because the more great golf you can get around here, and I think the NCAA championships now with the wall-to-wall coverage we had on TV the past couple of years, more people getting interested in that too. So there'd be some folks schlepping their way up the road to French Lick if that were to happen. Guarantee it. Be a great thing to have up there, man.
Yeah. That's the ultimate goal. I mean, that comes with 2 weeks of Golf Channel coverage, and I tell you what, it's a heck of a lot expensive more than the Senior PGA. So we're looking at it. And actually, I'm on my heading my way back. Speaking of the Senior PGA Championship, I was at the Whirlpool fundraiser event for the Benton Harbor Boys and Girls Clubs, and they raised $1.6 million yesterday for this event.
Wow.
It's amazing. Wow. Yeah, they do top-notch. It was great. They had Colin Montgomery there with Lynn Swan, who is now the athletic director at the University of Southern California.
Huh?
So I was begging him and said, hey, I made you a letter of recommendation for the NCAAs, and then he dropped my card somewhere. I don't know
where. just one more quick question, man. You got any room for anybody that may be listening left in the Pro-Am on Friday up there?
No, actually our Pro-Ams are sold out.
Cool.
It's great. We have 50 teams. We have a morning wave and an afternoon wave. And the Pro-Am was going for $6,000 a foursome, and we sold those out. And you know, we have some great support. The whole state of Indiana is behind us, and Louisville, that area. And it's great. And we have people coming in from Atlanta, Dallas, California, pretty much all across the nation. So they really enjoy being with the ladies, and it's a great event to be at. So anybody who's encouraged to come, you know, if you listen to us in the greater metro area of either Indy or Louisville, you know, grab the kids, throw them in the car.
Yeah,
love to have you.
Definitely drive on up. It's a great couple of days of golf, and for even guys, you can actually, because these ladies are going to play the Pete Dye course probably the same way you would. Well, no, they're going to be substantially better, but you get the idea. You know, lengthwise and stuff like that. That is great. Coming up in 2 weeks.
It's not very often when John gets to throw that out there.
The 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, French Lick. The Pete Dye course up there. Brendan, travel safe, my man. Hope you get home in one piece pretty soon. Thanks for spending some time from your comfortable chair in the airport lounge there to spend with us on those weekend golf guys. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, my man.
All right, guys. Take care. Hit 'em straight. Have fun. And keep that Mark guy in line, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll be trying. We'll be trying, man. He's on the wagon, so everything is cool. Thanks, Brendan, and thanks you. We'll be right back. Don't you move. We are those weekend golf guys. Powered by Golf Talk America. Welcome back, those weekend golf guys. John Ashton here in studio. We've got Jeff Smith at the Golf Cave up at Otter Creek in Columbus, and Bill Chuang. Bill, welcome to those weekend golf guys, man.
Hi, thanks. Currently, I'm in Minnesota, but I usually hail from Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh! I love that place. I used to work there.
Yeah.
There's
you did.
There's a plaque somewhere. Yeah, we need to discuss that. There's a lot of places I used to work. But now you're an engineer, you're a PhD, you're one of them smart fellas. I got to tell you a quick story, man. It was almost like, you know, the guys who sell watches in Times Square. I walked by Bill's booth at the PGA show last January, and it's kind of like, psst, hey, come here. And I walked over, and he had 3 billiard balls on the table. And after he told me his story, I decided that because he sounded like a nice guy and looked like a nice guy, I was going to do him a favor and shield him from the USGA. Because those guys are not going to be your friends. But the average golfer or the guy who has for years struggled to hit a tee shot straight is going to love you like a second mother.
You know, It's funny how that all worked out. Obviously, that was one of my concerns. The real good golfers would poo-poo this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, you know, the good golfers, some of the really good ones, a lot of the pros have actually really liked this. When they hit it, it's a lot of fun for them. And they see some of the potential for something like this. And in fact, I got contacted by the PGA.
I want everybody to go to Base2Golf. That's Base2Golf.com and check it out. Because what you've got here is basically the same principle that you use when you play pool.
Correct.
Give us your engineering, dumbed down engineering explanation of how this works, man.
Okay, I can do that. So for anybody that's played pool, if you haven't played pool, I got the idea from pool. So if you have two pool balls or spheres touching, now they have to be touching. I can draw a line. You can draw a line from the contact point where they touch through the middle of one of the balls. If you now hit the other ball on the opposite side of the contact point anywhere, that first ball will go exactly along that line every time. It can only go one direction. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea from this whole thing. I started from pool balls, and from there I went to two golf balls touching together, and that actually worked really well. And from there we developed the tee.
Yeah, so basically what you've got is a tee with a small ball that's included as part of the tee. You set your golf ball in front of and touching the smaller one behind it, and then you just wail with a driver and knock the tar out of it.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it doesn't matter which direction the club face is really pointed, and it doesn't matter which way the club face is really swinging. Just contact is it.
That is correct. The ball can basically, by physics, can only go one direction. No matter how all the club is doing is imparting energy to the whole system, and so you can hit the ball, you can hit the sphere of the ball, of the tee from any direction, and the ball will only go in one direction. There's sort of an arrow on the tee that you can aim to tell the ball where to go, and now you just and then you put the ball on there, and then you just hit the sphere part of the tee, and it will send the ball going in that direction every time. That's how it works.
So you just wail away at it, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's the funny thing about it. And the other thing is, too, because it works in three dimensions, you get the same loft every time. So it depends on where the contact point is, how high the contact point is to the sphere. We've set it so that the loft angle is about 17.5 degrees. Which there have been some studies that say that's the ideal the ideal loft angle for distance, but it turns out it's probably a little too high, so we're going to be adjusting that on future tees.
Wow!
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? How do you do that? You're just going to elevate the ball a little bit higher, the ball that's part of the tee.
You can do it that way, or bring the arm down. There's a little arm that actually holds the ball, and so what I'll probably do is lower that arm, and so the ball will be lower in relationship to the ball or to the sphere. And now you get a different loft angle. I would probably make it about 12 degrees, I think. That should make a big difference.
That'd be interesting.
It's a really pretty flight. When you see this thing fly, it's probably about 5 wood, is what people tell me. A really, really nice high ball. It goes really straight. But, you know, I think, people want more distance out of it, so I'm gonna lower that angle.
You know, for the higher club head speed players, they're probably gonna want a little bit lower launch angle.
Right.
So
because
that's a pretty high launch for a guy with, you know, 100-plus mile-an-hour swing speed.
Right.
Certainly this thing's going to dampen the transmission of energy into the golf ball a little bit. But at the same time, you know, if the guy's not worried about it going sideways, he's gonna lay into it even a little harder. So I think it'll kind of might wash itself out.
That's actually a very good example of what we're talking about. So my business partner is a very good golfer. I happen to be not a good golfer at all. He's a really good golfer. His swing
speed
is 100.
Apparently, you need to use your product a little more.
Exactly. That's why I developed it. My partner's swing speed is in the hundreds. He swings about 99 to 100, and normally he hits the ball at 270. He's pretty straight. With this thing, he loses some distance. We've been measuring this. We got something called the name. It's a radar device that measures the distance and spin and angles of balls as they come off. So we've been able to use that device to measure distances. And he usually hits about 250, 260 right on there with a regular tee. With this tee, he's getting about 220 So he's losing pretty good distance, pretty good amount of distance. A lot of it will depend on how badly it's hit. You can think of the tee as sort of a filter. It kind of absorbs the badness of your hit. So the worse you hit, the less distance you're going to get. But you're still going to go straight. That's how the vectors work out. That's how the physics works out. The tee will go flying. And that has been an issue. We're thinking about ways to maybe keep it in the ground better. Because you're going to have to go chase it.
Uh-huh. Now the tee's going to go in the direction your ball would have gone.
That's basically correct. Yeah. You're right. So if you hit it really, really badly, your tee's going to go that direction. Now it's not going to go quite that distance or quite that direction because there's going to be some physics involved with contacting the golf ball as well.
Right. Okay.
But it basically will go that direction. Correct. But not nearly as far as a regular golf ball will go. But it will go that direction. Yeah. Yeah.
So even if the club face is not square to the tee when it makes contact,
yes.
I know it'll still go straight, but is the energy different if the club face is different angle to the ball when you hit the tee?
Yeah, so the way the vectors work is anytime you apply force, basically.
Yeah.
That force can be broken down into vectors. And that vector is going to have a direction and a magnitude. The way it works is because the golf ball is a sphere and this is a sphere. There's only one point at which they touch.
Right.
And so the only vector that gets through any other vector, if you go to my website, it kind of explains it.
Right.
The golf ball as it hits the golf club as it hits the sphere will generate a vector within that sphere. That same vector will apply at the point of contact.
Okay.
And that vector can be broken down into basically orthogonal components. There's one that goes through the point of contact perpendicular, and there's one that goes tangential. Because the one that's tangential, because it's a single point of contact, the tangential one never really reaches the golf ball. Okay, it only will tend to move the tee sideways, never forward into the golf ball. The only energy that gets through is the one that's perpendicular in the direction of contact.
Gotcha.
Or in the direction of the contact point. And that's why it goes only in one direction.
I knew I should have paid more attention in physics class than I could have done.
You know, it's really, really simple high school physics, actually.
Yeah.
I think I learned the physics in ninth or tenth grade. And I had to go back and think about it as well because it's so simple. I had to figure out why when I saw the pool ball demonstration, when my friends actually made that shot in pool the first time,
uh-huh.
I had to go back and figure out why it worked. And so when I figured that out, I thought, well, where else can I use this? And then the golf ball thing came up.
Okay. I just want to not offense, but I just want to correct you on one thing you said during this interview, Bill, is simple okay. High school physics is a contradiction in terms. Okay. I just want to let you know that. All right. Check them out, man. Base2golf.com. And that way, for some of you who can't visualize still what he's saying, there's a great video there. It'll show you exactly how this thing works. Hit it straight for once in your life. Why don't you? Huh? See how much more fun the game
fun.
Can be when you hit your second shot out of the
fun.
Fairway and not from under the trees. Bill Chuang.
Exactly.
Appreciate your time, sir. And this is going to be a lifesaver for a lot of people who just have,
I hope so,
try as they might, have not been able to actually figure out how to hit that little white ball straight once you elevate it. It's great.
The times I've taken it out, it's been a lot of fun for me. It really does change things.
It does. It's more fun, and if you can make it more fun, then you'll do it more often, and who knows, maybe your second
exactly.
shots and your putts will get better too. Bill Chuang, it's
exactly.
base2golf.com. Appreciate your time, sir. And talk to us before you talk to PGA Magazine, because who reads that? Okay, man?
Okay.
All right.
PGA professionals right. don't even read that.
Yeah.
I got news for you.
All right.
Bill, thanks, man. We'll be talking to you again soon, my man. Take it easy. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
And you hang
all
out
right.
with us, too. We'll be right back. and welcome back. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys, have been for the whole hour, and continue to be. You can catch us, thoseweekendgolfguys.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/golfguys. Follow us on Twitter. No, you like us on Facebook. I will get this nomenclature, this whole social media stuff. I guess if it ever catches on, I'll have to learn
it. How about just saying, give us some warm and fuzzies on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and on, you know, that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Because everybody knows how to do the warm and fuzzy. There's a little click, the thing you click, and it's either a heart or it's a emoji or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at Twitter, we are at WKND Golf Guys. I don't know, Mark, if you heard this or not. When we're playing the Donald Ross course during our downtime at the LPGA Legends Championship in a few weeks up at French Lick.
Right.
We are going to attempt Facebook Live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Mark, you got to throw it out there like Bart Scott did, or it just doesn't work.
Like, Can't wait.
Okay. He's not quite as excited as I thought he might be. We'll work on it. You were telling us a little earlier off the air that you had been working with a college student about basically how to expect the unexpected and how to prepare for the unthinkable, strange
lives. And that's one of the things, you know, this young man, junior in college now, and, you know, he's dealing with some situations because he's, you know, he's played a lot of tournament golf, and he said, hey, it's time to – let's start talking about some weird situations here. Stuff that, you know, you see every once in a while, but you don't see very often. You know, the crazy stance, the one where the ball's sitting up on top of a little tuft of grass down in between this other stuff, and you got this strange stance where one foot's way above the other and you got a shoulder tilt, you know, because you got this hole to hit it out of. And, you know, we did all kinds of stuff. So here we are throwing golf balls down into situations where one of the options in your mind always ought to be an unplayable lie rule and take a penalty and move it out of there. If you decided not to, how would you get that out? How would you extricate yourself from this problem and hit a good shot or hit a decent shot or hit one that's better than the drop you would have got? If I can find my ball in a situation like kind of between two tree roots is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John, when you hit it sideways, sometimes there's trees and sometimes there's roots that stick up above the ground and then you're in between them.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to deal with that? You know, one of the options is always to take an unplayable lie, which is, you know, the rules allow you to pick it up and move it with a one-stroke penalty. And you can move it two club lengths in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
No closer to the hole.
Mm-hmm.
You could go back and hit it from where you hit the last one from, which is a stroke and distance penalty. And most people aren't going to take that one. But the other one is to take that ball and keep the spot that it was, you know, that was in, and you keep that spot between you and the hole and go back as far as you want. So there's some possibilities, some drops. But, you know, I try to help my players that I work with and saying, hey, look, how are you going to even come to the decision that you're going to make it an unplayable lie, or are you going to take a hack at it and see what happens? You know, depending on the danger of the situation, like, for example, in between two tree roots, if that ball shoots up in the air, you know, if you hit one of those roots, that thing could come up and hit you. You know, it could do some serious physical damage. You could hit yourself in the eye or the neck or something, you know, where you're actually going to get really injured. You know, at that point, the rules kind of add insult to injury there, literally, instead of figuratively, where they'd actually have penalized you two more strokes for hitting yourself. You know, sometimes you make that decision, and sometimes you go, all right, I'm going to take a club, and I'm going to hack it out of here. And then what we'd do is we'd kind of decide, hey, look, my rule of thumb is if I can get a club on it, and that club can get me a trajectory on it that it won't touch anything else immediately, that means I have a chance to move my ball into a better situation, probably.
Yeah, further down the fairway. Yeah,
better than my drop would be.
Yeah.
So I think that I need to tell my players, if you think that you've got a 75% or greater chance of getting a club on this ball and putting it into a better situation than your drop and your one-stroke penalty, then go ahead and hit the shot. Unless, of course, you could hit yourself and injure yourself and get a two-stroke penalty. So we did a lot of that. And then we did some stuff around the greens. And this was a really good lesson because it opened up his eyes to these odd lies around the greens. You know, like he's standing with one foot in the greenside bunker and his ball's on the upslope of the green,
mm-hmm.
you know, right hanging on the edge of the bunker. You've been in that situation before. If you've played golf, it's happened. You've seen it. I have a formula for that, and it works every single time. Let's take that situation. Ball's above your feet, and it's about knee high. And you've had to, in order to get down to it, the ball's sitting on the upper edge of the bunker lip. So it's actually in the grass outside the bunker by, you know, just a little bit. So much so that you decide, am I going to put this ball way back in my stance and stand right on the upper edge of the bunker lip and chip it from, you know, that far back, which is certainly a possibility? Or am I going to have to stand with 1 foot in the bunker to have a better swing at it or something, which is also a possibility? Let's say you have to decide it's better for me, for my balance, to set up and be standing 1 foot in the bunker and 1 foot out. So you can imagine the golfer that's all straight-legged into the bunker and he's standing on that downhill leg and the uphill leg is way up on the bunker slope and it's, you know, one knee bent and all that. Now the ball is way above your feet and you've lowered your body a lot. So the rule that I have on this is you settle your body in so that you could make a swing before you actually determine the length of your club needed. Because what would happen is people will get themselves in an unbalanced position because they held onto the club all the way at the end of the grip. So what I would do is put the club on the ground behind the golf ball and settle down in the body and get that set before I actually put my hands on the club to grip it. So that way I'm not predetermining the length of the golf club, but what I'm doing is I'm holding the golf club at the length that my arms are hanging naturally and that I'm balanced with the hill. So I might even be hanging on down as low as, you know, on the shaft of the club sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that works every time.
Okay.
Because then the adjustment from how far above your feet the ball is taken care of because you've got the shaft shorter, a lot shorter.
Right.
But you determine that not before you set up, but after you set up. Okay. So that means your upper body and arm swing still does the same thing and can land it in the same place without any funny movements.
And you have a story, too, about a guy you were trying to explain his options according to the rules being in a bad situation, and he blew a tournament, didn't he?
Yeah. It's unfortunate. This was a few years ago. This was at the French Lick Resort, as a matter of fact. It was the Big Ten Championships. And this guy was a student athlete at Indiana University, my alma mater. And he was on the 17th hole. He had this was the last round, 17th hole. And he hits it into the tall grass on the left. And this is one where it went in was left of the fairway by a pretty good bit. And this is one where you don't want to find your ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you find it, you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And this was better to have stood on the tee and taken a provisional ball and hit one out in the fairway way back there and then not find this other one. But unfortunately, it was the Big Ten Championship, and the Big Ten camera crew spotted the ball, and they flagged everybody down. Now, I'm the rules official on this hole, on the 17th and 18th hole in this Big Ten Championship a few years back. And the golf coach is there, and the player is there. And here, this situation is rough. I mean, this guy is standing in waist-high fescue, and that ball is sitting down, but it's not down all the way. It's about ankle high. So it's above his feet, but it's down in a big thicket of grass.
Right.
This ball's not coming out on the first swing. You can barely see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they've identified it, so I step in and I say, do you want to know your rules under your options under the rules? And the coach had said, thanks, we've got it. We know what they are. Thank you very much. And so I stepped back and I proceeded to watch him decide that it was a good idea to take a sand wedge, you know, a club that points really high in the sky, and decide to go have a hack at it. But the ball's sitting high up into the air. You know, it's not down onto the ground. It's sitting, you know, like right. I said, ankle high. And the first swing went right underneath it. Now, the problem with that is that he could no longer take the unplayable lie option and actually, you know, move it out. And so, you know, because his last swing at it was, you know, right there. Yeah. So he couldn't go back to the last place he played it from because it's, you know, right there.
Right,
And so that option's now gone. And so now all of a sudden he has to take another swing at it, and it moves a good 6-7 feet maybe. And then he's got to go hack at it a third time, and he gets it to the edge of the nasty stuff. And then he has another hack at it, and it gets out, and then he gets it onto the green and putts and makes a big number. And it was too bad because this is a great player. with a really rough decision in a high tense situation, and probably would have been better off using one of the unplayable lie options.
Yeah. Moral of the story is, if Jeff Smith asks you if you'd like to know your options, please say yes, because the first one he'll give you is the one you should take. Okay? All right. That does it for another week. We appreciate all our guests. We appreciate you being here. Again, thoseweekendgolfguys.com. You can go to Facebook and give us some love at facebook.com/golfguys. Follow us on Twitter at WKNDGolfGuys. You missed the episode? Check it out at audioboom.com. Again, part of the Golf Talk America Network. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys. You go play some golf. That's what we're going to do. Be right back here next week. Bye.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.